A Love Song for the Sad Man in the White Coat, written by Roe Horvat. Narrated by Vance Bastian. Dedication. For Simon, with love. You are good enough. Part 1. 1. The Note. Newtown, Prague, December 2012. The cruel Dr. Frost overseeing. Mathieu stared at the text message from Tina for 2 useless seconds before it sank in. He stuffed the phone into his jeans pocket and fidgeted, looking through the graffiti-covered window on the never-ending line of vehicles. The taillights colored the drizzle toward a murky, horror-movie red. It was too early for the sun to be up yet, and when the time came, it would not be strong enough to penetrate the gray cover of the clouds above Prague. In the winter rain, Mathieu didn't see the busy street, the cars and buses, all those people fighting each other with black umbrellas. What he saw was a giant knot of earthworms in a pile of mud. The whole city looked squishy, dirty, writhing while drowning. The tramway moved again, and Mathieu's whole body jerked backward. At the last second, he caught the pole running along the ceiling and kept himself upright. Swaying in sync with the tram's motion, he held on until the door finally opened and squeezed his slender body out into the throng of huddled figures on the traffic island. He began running at full speed, as fast as the crowds allowed him, his messenger bag banging around his hip. Dr. Simon Raz, or the cruel Dr. Frost, as the whole student body called him, was overseeing the exam in internal medicine today. It was unexpected, yet not impossible. If one of the professors was too busy or too self-important to be present for the finals, a younger faculty member would be assigned the tedious task. Dr. Simon Mraz was one of the youngest, therefore most abused assets. His specialty was psychiatry, and he had led 2 introductory seminars on the topic during the last semester. In his 5 years of study, it was the only course where Mathieu had a 100% attendance score. And it was not psychiatry that had his full attention during those seminars. In fact, he could barely remember a thing, except for the outline of Dr. Mraz's lean back under his white coat, his almost invisible smile, and those defined, large, capable hands. Mathieu could not be late. As he ran, his idle brain teased him with imprudent ideas, indecent, delicious ideas. The aloof and brilliant Dr. Mraz had been on Mathieu's mind for some time. Today's exam was an opportunity that would not repeat itself in the foreseeable future. Mathieu jumped over a dog's leash and continued his mad dash toward the campus building complex, noisily entering the building's heavy antique double doors with 2 minutes to go. He almost passed the downstairs cafeteria, but changed his mind and approached the counter without acknowledging the line of co-eds. He had the kind of reputation that, on occasion, allowed him to cut in front of the line. "Hey, lovely, give me a black one, I beg you," he said breathlessly but assertively, and threw a tenner on the counter. The coin twirled and stilled. The girl behind the counter blushed and hurried to the espresso machine immediately. Mathieu winked at the stunned geeky youngster who was first in line. "Sorry, emergency, finals in intern med, like, right now." Mathieu grinned. The student nodded mutely, his mouth snapping shut. Mathieu Hirst was well known among the other medics. Those who did not know him gave him the leeway regardless. He was visible everywhere with his tattoos, ear gauges, red shoes, and tight clothes, all of which were considered outrageous by the faculty staff. Taking the mug and leaving the girl with a flirtatious smile, Mathieu took off through the corridor. It was exactly 7:30. The exam was starting right at that moment. Nevertheless, Mathieu stopped in front of a bulletin board. Suddenly inspired, he deposited the paper coffee mug on the tiled floor, stole a beige post-it from the board, and tore away a small, clean, sticky piece. He dug out his pen and tapped it against his lips. He had no time for a limerick. The note had to be short, witty, and to the point. He smiled as he wrote a single sentence and added his phone number underneath. It was over the top and beyond. There was no way it could work, but he was more than willing to take the risk because, if it did work, it would be glorious. Folding the note carefully, he used the torn post-it as tape to attach it to the coffee cup. With the message prepared, he strolled casually to the lecture hall and pushed open the wooden door. He was still smiling
Sample complete. Ready to continue?